Welcome back. This is the co-host TYB.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and this is the co-host Goon.
Yeah, we welcome to K-pop Fighting. Yeah, this week it's the weather is changing very weirdly. We usually don't start with the weather nowadays, but like today was a little bit different because the weather was really weird. It's like March, so it's like very warm, but at the same time very cold.
Yeah, currently I'm wearing a puffer jacket, and TYB is wearing a blazer.
Yeah, so, it's like very weird. Like, I mean, I'm not sure whether I have to wear like a, you know, winter coat or just nothing at all. It's just all mess up days. And but that's what the Korea's weather is like. And
yeah, it's really in the middle.
Yeah, and in that's that kind of awkwardness what I like about Korea too, because it's very extreme. It changes all the time.
Yeah.
But it's very dangerous too, actually, because it can have like a coldness into it and everything.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's one of the problem we have. But actually, like yesterday, you told me that actually Pink Panthers was like wandering around in Seoul, something like that.
Yeah, like there has been like sights of... like Pink Panthers in Seoul, especially Gangnam. So I was really surprised.
Yeah, can you believe it? Like, she's like walking somewhere in Seoul, man, right now.
I mean, she has been paying homage to K-pop in her music, and she herself is a NCT citizen. So
she, at even from the start, she like really early days, she was an ARMY too.
So I mean, it's not surprising, but like as of now, she's one of the biggest female artists like right now. So
yeah,
it is really surprising to, you know, I hope I see her like walking around Seoul. I might ask her for a picture, probably.
Actually, you know, like, come to hearing what you're saying, I kind of realize, you know, like, recently, Aquafina came to Korea, because her mother is Korean.
Oh, yeah. She actually starred in Kung Fu Panda, right?
Yeah.
Right, right.
She was in the... And her... She went to this Pishik show, which is, like, one of the biggest talk show in Korea. But... And she said... She's, like, sort of a big star in America.
Oh, yeah, she is. Yeah,
like, for the top, one of the top Asian stars, she's a main character in the Shang-Chi and stuff.
Yeah, with Simu Liu.
Yeah, but when she walks around Korea, no one cares about her. That's what she said. She's like, man, I have to work harder. That's what she said.
I mean, she blends in perfectly.
Yeah.
Because, like, she is literally half Korean, right?
Yeah, literally.
So,
but that's kind of funny to me. It's like... Many pop stars and people are just coming to Korea, and then that's kind of very interesting for me to see, actually.
Same with Timothy Chalamet, because like he was literally like wandering around like the biggest tourist
spots
in Seoul, and people did ask for pictures, but it wasn't like a Leonardo DiCaprio
or Brad Pitt
type of situation.
I mean, Timothy Chalamet is probably the biggest Hollywood star in Korea.
Yeah, I love him. Yeah,
but he is not like that popular. It's like a Robert Downey Jr. level. You know, it's just Korea.
I think it is a Korean thing.
Yeah,
like even if Pink Panthers like walks around in like Itaewon or Hongdae, like people might think her as like an exchange student, like
maybe,
which is crazy.
But Timothy Chalamet and Zendaya went to like this UK's on the Block, one of the biggest talk show in Korea.
And
the aesthetics, the visuals, and the lighting, they look like they would come to Korean drama or something.
Oh yeah,
it's like very Korean visual.
That's what happens when you wear Korean makeup.
Like the recently the movie called
Argyle.
Movie had a main characters, and they talked about how they actually want to be in one of the, like, Korean movies.
Oh yeah,
like Juno Bong or Chanuk Park kind of masters. So it's a very different thing. I mean, who knows, maybe someday Yoon will like have like a featured with like one of the pop stars, like Post Malone.
I wish, yeah.
That would be great, man.
Like, yeah, hit me up, Posty.
I mean, his wife is, I think, Korean.
Yeah, he actually had a baby with
or something like that. Yeah. So who knows? Maybe next time.
It's a daughter, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. So next, who knows? Next version of the drowning, there will be a Gyun featuring. I mean,
yeah.
I'm joking, obviously, but probably it's a joke that can happen. You know.
I should work harder. Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows? I mean, it's all just. But you're doing great, actually. It's like, it feels like Korea is like, at the attention of everyone's, like even like the worldwide.
Yeah, so like pop culture wise, Korea is doing really well.
Yeah, it's very interesting to see like how it changes and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like the, what should I say, the beginning of what we were supposed to talk about. And actually, there has been another news that kind of grabbed our attention, which was like, we don't know like how or why, like a cause of death, but
mm-hmm.
the Korean producer Shin Sa-dong Ho-rang-i
right.
was found dead.
Mm-hmm.
He was like 40 something, very young.
He was really young.
Yeah, really young. So we don't know why, but like, but we wanted to kind of pay homage to him because he was one of the big producers, especially during 2000s and even 2010.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to kind of talk about it. So, yeah, what do you like? But I'm more of a Shin Sa-dong Ho-rang-i generation. So, what do you know about Shin Sa-dong Ho-rang-i Gyun? Because, like,
to be honest, because, like, since he is not like a famous TV show personality,
he's just a producer.
Yeah, or a TV show host.
Nope.
I didn't really know him. I've heard about him a lot. And, like, there has been, like, references to Shin Sa-dong Ho-rang-i, like, yeah, he's, like, this hit maker. And I do know some of his songs, like, Fiction by mm-hmm. Beast. And I did know him, but, like, preparing for this episode, I dug deeper to his discography. And there were, like, way more, like, a lot of songs that I loved that were, like, produced by him. So he was actually a really talented producer.
Yeah. And we don't know much about producers usually, right?
Like, yeah.
It's kind of like Ryan John. He's more like an industry guy. He's more like a producer.
Like a music guy.
Yeah, behind.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't, you know, stop us from like pay homage to him or anything. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I still remember Shin Sa-dong Ho-rang-i when he was like a big guy. And he was one of the guys, like in 2000, like about 2010,
right.
late 2000.
Mm-hmm.
In Korea, like the sound of electronic pop or like even like a real electronic music from the club, DJ were a thing in Korea. Nowadays, it doesn't care. We don't care because it's obvious K-pop always has like this great electronic sound in it now.
Yeah, for sure.
But back then, it was a shocking thing.
Yeah. I mean, it was like a global thing. But
Like
Pitbull, mm-hmm. like Maroon 5.
Or who's that guy? The Sorry for Party Rocking.
Yeah, LMFAO.
Oh, yeah, LMFAO. Yeah. Or the, like G2.
Oh, yeah.
The those Asian rappers. Yeah, mm-hmm. that kind of, it has been.
I mean, it was a global thing. Like EDM basically conquered the pop scene. Like like Chris Brown.
Or Usher. Yeah.
Usher, like releasing EDM songs.
Yeah.
But until like 2010, like Korean music was more like it had a lot of synthesizers going on, but it wasn't like straight up EDM.
Nope.
Until Shin Sa-dong Ho-rang-i basically crashes out in the music scene.
Yeah. It was like there was like Shin Sa-dong Ho-rang-i, and there was
Brave Sound,
and there was Hitchhiker.
Oh, yeah.
Those were the guys who were like real DJ.
Mm-hmm.
Like used like his skills and their skills,
like real straight up electronic music producers.
Yeah. So like it's kind of like Usher, kind of, you know, in when he did he was more like a hip hop singer, but then with the Love in This Club, now he was more electronic guy.
Yeah, like with Chris Brown, like when Chris Brown like made that one song with Auto-Tune and heavy EDM. Like looking back, it feels like a fever dream. Like, like those are the heydays, really.
Yep.
But
actually, Shin Sa-dong Ho-rang-i started out as a wanted to be an idol. Did you know that?
Never knew that.
He wanted to be a idol dance music dancer or something.
Oh wow! Really?
So he came to Seoul, but then, you know, when it's just natural process. He was like, "Do you want to make this up and like make this beat or stuff. So
right.
maybe he wanted to be sort of like a, you know, G-Dragon type self-producer,
like
or
a singer-songwriter.
Or yeah, but then he was so talented in the music that more and more and more music jobs were coming to him and stuff. Mm-hmm. So naturally, he became like a producer in the end. Like just all of a sudden, like just it was like a natural status, I guess.
Yeah.
It's same with Crush, but the reverse. The Crush, the R&B guy,
mm-hmm.
wanted to be actually a producer.
Yeah.
But then when he was doing the guided vocal, then those executives were like, "You're really good at singing. Why don't you just become a singer?"
Sings too good to be a producer.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you sing like that and you're becoming a producer. Come on, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a reverse. But like, since I wanted to be a like a idol, but then made him people made him more like a producer.
Yeah, because like he's so talented.
Yeah, in the beat making and everything. So he was making music with many people actually at first, but like. His name Shin Sadaehoreon came from like the game Online ID.
Yeah,
he played games with the legend Kim
Gunmo. Yeah,
yeah.
We should talk about him sometime.
Yeah. He's like a Stevie Wonder equivalent.
Legendary.
Yeah, and then they were just playing games together and
probably StarCraft.
I think it's more like a Lineage or something. Like that.
Yeah,
and like those older like you know World of War. It's not even probably before World of Warcraft, but those old music, games, and then they were, and so he was making Shin Sadaehoreon as his one because I believe it was because Kim Gunmo's ID was Yangjaedong
Bakbagi.
Because he's living in Yangje, which is where I live, and he's always like shaving his head, so Bakbagi.
Kim Gunmo is known for his shaved head.
That's which makes him more like a black guy too, you know. That's how they just made a sort of game crew or something.
Yeah.
And he just made an ID with his producer name, street name.
Yeah. Shin Sadaehoreon basically means Shin Sadaehoreon Tiger.
Yeah.
Like
the same logic.
Yeah, same. Like I go by the name of like Cheongdam-dong something.
Yeah. He was actually a producer. Yeah. But that's kind of funny, but like actually at first it was like a joke, so ridiculous. But after Shin Sadaehoreon and Brave Sound, many people made those weird names after that.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't know why, but Korean producers, like K-pop producers, has like the weirdest names. Like Black Eyed Pilsing.
Yeah.
Like that's obviously from Black Eyed Peas.
Peas, yeah.
But Pilsing means like glory.
That's
it's really weird.
Yeah.
Brave Sound, when you say it in English, it is really... Like,
it sounds
it's
cool.
It's dope, but in Korean, it's 용감한 형제.
That's kind of...
Which literally means brave brothers.
Yeah, that's a little bit... That sounds like a mafia or something.
Yeah.
Yakuza or something.
Yeah. Or 이단 옆차기.
Yeah.
Which means like...
Taekwondo kick.
Yeah, taekwondo kick.
Flying kick. Which is weird, yeah.
Yeah, but Shin Sadaehoreon would be like the one of the... first to ever do it.
Pioneer, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't like that kind of name, so when I was trying to make my own name, TYB, I actually was inspired by Jinyoung Park.
Oh, JYP.
Yeah, because that's so simple. JYP is so simple.
Yeah, I like one of those names, like BI.
Oh, BI.
JYP. YDG.
Oh, that's a great one. YDG is a great one. Yeah. I like Y. That's one of my favorite names, man. YDG.
YDG is like a goated name.
Probably that's a great name.
So dope.
Probably the worst name ever in a goat way is Killer Bang. Hitman Bang.
Hitman Bang.
Actually, the guy, there's a K-Will, do you know the R&B singer?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, K-Will was first produced by Hitman Bang.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then he recently came to like the Yoo Jae-suk's YouTube channel, and he was talking about Hitman Bang, and he said, Membang-i hyung. Membang bro, yeah, bro Membang.
Because
of
Hitman
Bang. Yeah, it's like, so he and they were laughing so hard.
Yeah.
So that's like, but it's the point is making joke. Jinyoung Park was trying to make fun of him, make fool of him. So that's fun one too.
Yeah, Membang.
Yeah, but actually, I still think it's Hitman Bang with all those credit. I think
Even now, like, he still goes by the name of Hitman Bang, right?
I think so.
Like,
even
like
in the credits.
In the writer credits.
Like. Yeah. Like, Easy Le Sserafim.
Yeah.
Probably there is a Hitman Bang somewhere. Yeah. because all the main songs from Le Sserafim and TXT and those were all in it. So that's, yeah, so that those names were like, Shin Sa Dong Ho Rang, by the way, Indian rap out, was one of the first pioneer of that weird names.
Yeah. in Infinite Challenge, the Korean TV show, Bang Myung-soo, who is like the comedian who writes music as like a
DJ.
Yeah, DJ, like he does it as a hobby slash like he wants to make out like in make it into the music scene.
Yep, yep, yep.
He went by the name of Bang Bae-dong Salkeuni, which means like Bang Bae-dong cat.
Yeah.
Like which has like the parallel to Shin Sa-dong tiger.
Yeah. That's how big he was.
Yeah, and that just implies how big Shin Sa-dong Ho-rang-i was in the industry, because Infinite Challenge was the biggest show at that time.
Yeah, and Bang Myung-soo was probably one of the biggest even at that that show. So actually, as a producer, he was actually a main producer of Cube at that time.
Mm-hmm.
He did many, many good songs from Beast and 4 Minute.
Mm-hmm. Like, former known as Beast.
Former, now it's Highlight, but like the Fiction.
Fiction. And
all the songs.
My favorite song, it's got to be Jang Hyun-sung and Hyuna. Troublemaker.
Troublemaker, that was a great song.
That whistle
is
like a generational anthem.
I agree. And the bubble pop of Hyuna
was also crazy.
And then the 4 Minute had many good songs, actually, like music, those all like very electronic and very
very very hype.
And it sounds like a club music, actually.
Yeah,
it's very electronic and like from DJ almost, like Avicii type of guy.
Yeah, right.
So that was very interesting to me.
Similar to 21, but more EDM type of feeling.
Yeah, because like, it's hard to explain, but like 4 Minute sounds more like a Avicii or like Demi Lovato, like a real electronic pop. But
for sure,
21 sounds more like Rihanna, you know, like
or TLC.
Yeah. That kind of, you know, more EDM influenced R&B
and hip hop,
black music, basically. So it was a little bit different, but I really liked it. Actually, those music made him like one of the biggest guy.
Yeah,
but then, sadly, I mean, that happens all the time. He was a great producer, but he was not the best businessman.
Nope.
So he made his own company and produced EXID, like his own girl group. But business-wise, it was like a disaster.
Yeah. So I mean, EXID had like the greatest songs from that era, probably, but a few bad business choices really took the team away from him, right?
Yeah, and then they were almost at the end of their career, but with the, we all know, like many people know, but if you guys don't know, there was like this Jikcam, which is like the
fan cam
actually recorded one of the performance solely on one member called Hani. And he was just basically just focusing on her performance for the song called Up and Down. And
that really changed the scene forever.
Yeah, it changed the scene forever, because like with that, it was going reverse, like it kind of like reinvented or rediscovered EXID, and EXID became all of a sudden like a pop star.
And the song itself was like crazy, so good.
Yeah.
And it's like besides the point, but you pointed out the fan cam moment. And that was crazy, because like ever since that, the fan cam culture became insanely popular.
Yep.
And it just blew up. And even until now, like when a K-pop idol song drops, the YouTube channel, the official channels, the official broadcast channels upload the fan cams by themselves.
Yep.
And that really shaped the K-pop landscape forever.
Yeah, and they now don't stop them at all. They actually encourage them to make a fan cam.
And it might be a reach, but I believe that Shin Sa-dong Ho-rang-i did actually contribute in that culture, like through the song Up and Down.
I think so, because the song itself was very performance-oriented, very sexual and everything.
Yes.
And that kind of worked well with the performance.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of worked. And then even after EXID, he had a few like good moments after it, like Momoland, Boom Boom was a big hit back then too. So like he had some ups and downs, but for sure she was always like this hit maker for sure.
Yeah.
And then that's basically what he did. And then although he was not successful as a businessman, like a like an executive producer, but
yeah,
he was a great beat maker. So
mm-hmm.
one thing I kind of noticed was that he made beat by himself,
mm-hmm.
which is not the song camp system we have right now. And what do you think of Gin? Like, should people make a song camp, or like his way was a bit outdated? Maybe, I don't know.
Well, there's no like definitive answer because yeah. you know it's art at the end of the
course,
day,
of course.
And there's like no really answer to that. But I think there should be a common ground between the sessions and a solo project.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, sessions are always really fun to do.
Yeah.
And it is fun to put together the creative ideas and the process. And it really makes a different outcome.
Yep.
Like, because, like, there are, like, seven brains
mm-hmm.
and seven different ideas merged into one outcome. And that is always really creative. Like,
yep,
it
yep.
turns out very creative.
It can be, yeah.
But at the other hand, it might be too crowded
yep.
and it might be all over the place.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, when you're working alone, there's this like crazy identity of yours that gets put into your work.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it just tells you that you made the song.
Yeah.
But the cons of that is, you might make the same music all over again. You
yeah.
might become a clone of yourself.
That's kind of, yeah, I can see what you're saying,
yeah.
actually.
And because the K-pop industry nowadays rely a lot on the sessions, I think that is why K-pop songs are so high-end and so quality.
Probably.
But on the other hand, what I am feeling is that there's no more JYPs. There are no more Teddies.
No more Hitman Bang. Yeah.
No more Hitman Bangs. I mean, there's a lot of quality music, but there's no that distinctive sound from one specific producer.
I can see it because Shinsa Dongwhorengi, although might has been like not as big as it used to be,
yeah.
his music had his own sound in it. So
yeah.
it works. I mean, like it depends on the context and like
yeah.
you have to try different things. Like, you know, Kanye West's new recent album is like basically Kanye West and Tidal are signed. That's it.
Yeah, Vultures.
Yeah, and you can see the music is just basically from those two people. Like you can see those two people's identity
right.
so strongly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was since I was wondering, it took kind of like his music was very, very like
yeah.
himself.
Like, I think it's safe to say that he was like among some other star producers. Like he like was like the one and only producer that had that distinctive sound in the K-pop
you.
Industry back then.
Yeah, I agree with you. And it was really fun to just listen to all his music. And also, I think one other thing I want to point out is he was definitely a good person.
Yeah, for sure.
Because all the EXID members were paying homage to him, although they were sort of endangered because of, you know, the business choices
yeah.
he and other executives were made. He
yeah.
was a, they knew he was a good person for sure.
Yeah.
And we, you guys know, like the I'm not. I know Gyun, you know, but I'm not sure you guys know Channabi.
Oh yeah,
indie band.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, it was Shinsa Dongwhorengi who
really,
yeah, made them actually.
Mm-hmm.
Like he kind of put that like found them.
Yeah,
and then pushed them, and then
so that just explains a lot about him because he didn't really discriminate the music genres.
Not at all. Yeah, and he say yeah, and he was like, you guys are already good. Band by yourselves. I'm not gonna touch anything about
yeah.
your music. I'll just do the paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how he made music. And
look what that got. Like,
yeah,
look what that got them. Like, they are probably one of the biggest bands ever
in
Korea.
In Korea, yeah.
Yeah.
And like, it was thanks to him because like,
yeah, for sure.
Some other people didn't get him his power at
yeah.
first. So that was very, yeah, great person and like his personality and his works will always be remembered. So. R.I.P. to him.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, rest in peace. And we'll pay homage to him and just keep listening to him too, actually. I kind of
yeah.
will when I'm actually making this, I'm gonna make a playlist of this is Shinsadong Horengi.
Yeah.
For you guys to enjoy too.
Yes.
So.
I mean, he might be gone, but his music is never gone. So.
Yeah. So we'll just keep enjoying his music for next time. So, yeah, that's all we had for Shinsadong Horengi today.
Mm-hmm.
So next week we're gonna next episode we're gonna do actually Wave to Earth actually.
Yes, Wave to Earth.
Actually, I didn't know them, but I got to know him because of you. Thanks to you.
You're
and
welcome.
It was really great music actually.
Yeah.
I was surprised by like their music and like how it was accepted by world audience. So yeah, I'll just keep looking forward to next week and to just, you know,
yeah,
get into this music. So mm-hmm. Until then, we'll see you guys next week.
See you next week, guys.